sanctified by the truth. We read in John 17:17 from the New International Version, sanctify them by the truth, your word is truth. You know, brethren, one of the most beautiful prayers that were ever prayed is recorded for us here in this 17th chapter of the book of John. And we might add, it's one of the most meaningful prayers. We find that Jesus gave this prayer at the close of the supper, the Last Supper. The Last Supper had been eaten, and now was coming the climax of 3.5 years of Jesus' walk. And we know that so much was going through the mind of our loving, gracious Lord here. Yet, Jesus took time to pray to His Heavenly Father. And He, of course, has done that all through His life. But here, at the close of His life, He prays to the Heavenly Father that the Father would guide, protect, and keep those whom the Father had given Him. Now, you are of that class. Can you imagine Jesus going through what He had gone through in 3.5 years, and now He was praying that the Heavenly Father would guide, protect, and keep those whom the Father had given Him. Listen. Listen to Jesus' prayer in John 17. We're going to read verses 8 to 11 to start with. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. Imagine now, glory is coming through those that the Father had called and had given to Jesus. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name. Now consider this. Your name. Consider that as we go on. The name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. And then verses 14 to 26. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of this world. My prayer is not that you would take them out of the world, but that you would protect them from the evil one. Now, what a prayer is being prayed here. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And you have sent me into the world. I have sent them into the world. As you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. And for them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I and them, and you and me. And may they be brought to complete unity. Now, we've heard a lot about that here at this convention already. that they may be brought to complete unity, to let the world know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that beautiful? And to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you have loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. For I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love that you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. A New International Version. Now, oftentimes, we read verse 17 of John 17 without asking ourselves what it means to be sanctified by the truth. So it is our object today to examine this phrase and how a knowledge of the truth sets us apart from the world as it did our Lord. I use the emphasis on the truth. I can remember Brother Burton Brown many years ago always told us to put that emphasis on the word the, because this is what it is. The truth. And this truth is what sets us apart from the world as it did our Lord. Now, Jesus never asked that his Father had given him might be taken out of the world. No, he didn't ask that. It's simply that they might be one as he was with the Father. And this oneness, what a beautiful thought is mentioned here and is emphasized. This oneness is emphasized throughout the Scriptures. Let's look at these words for a moment. Sanctify, sanctified, and sanctification. Now, the word sanctify is found in the New Testament six times under the Greek word from Strong's Concordance, number 37, Hagiazo, I'm probably not saying that correctly, purify, consecrate, make holy, from the root word from 40 of Strong's Concordance, blameless, holy, or saint. Yes, you are saints. Not in the completed sense yet, but you have been set aside. You have consecrated, you have been made holy. And so this is one of the words for Strong's Concordance 37. Now, Vine's Concordance of New Testament words says of John 17:17 that the Greek word is hagiosmos, meaning separation to God. Separation to God. A separation to God from evil things and evil ways. And this is learned by or from God's Word. This is shown in the words of the prophet David in Psalms 17, verse 4. By the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Again, in Psalms 119 and verse 9, Psalms 119 verse 9, how shall one cleanse his way? Question. By taking heed according to thy word. In Ephesians 5:26, the Lord's people are said to have been washed by the water of the Word. Yes, the Word of God purifies us from all evil ways. God's Word shows us the proper path of which we are to take. It has been written that the Bible is a mirror in which we recognize and understand God. Let me say that again, because I think it's very important. The Bible is a mirror in which we recognize and understand God. In Hebrews 13, verse 12, Hebrews 13, verse 12, our Lord shows us how we are separated wholly unto the Father, that it was by laying down His life, our Lord Jesus, through suffering. We read in verse 12 of Hebrews 13, wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people through His own blood, suffered without the gate. Now we read in 2 Timothy 2:12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. Now, brethren, that word suffer also has the main thought of endure. It doesn't necessarily mean that you have to go out and somebody does something to you and you are suffering for it, like in a sickness or anything else. But if we endure what God allows us to go through, we shall reign with Him. 2 Timothy 2:12. Now the Holy Spirit is the agent in our sanctification. 1 Peter 1:2. 1 Peter 1:2. We elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. Here we find, as we look at this word sanctification, we find it as a two-way street. Yes, a two-way street. What do we mean by that? Well, let's look at Leviticus 20, verses 7 and 8. Leviticus 20, verses 7 and 8. There we read, sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. And then verse 8, and ye shall keep my statutes and do them, for I am the Lord which sanctifies you. Notice there, the two-way street. We have a job to do in our sanctification. And the Lord says that He will help us, He will sanctify us in that manner. Okay? Now the Lord sets us apart unto holiness. And then we have to set ourselves apart. Again, we read in John 17, verse 19. For their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. There we read that again. Now, how did Jesus sanctify Himself, being holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners? It was by applying the knowledge of the Father's Word into His life. In this we read in John 12, verses 49 and 50. For I did not speak of my own accord, but the Father who sent me commanded me what to say and how to say it. For I did not speak of my own accord. No, I know that His command then leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. In this, Jesus made it clear that he took no honor, that is, to himself, no honor, but that it was the Father's plans and purposes that he was following. And that's what we are to do. Truth, and the word the truth. Is there any difference between the words truth and the truth? Well, the definition for truth is from the noun or the plural of truths. One is conformity to fact or actuality. Secondly, it is a statement proven to be or to be accepted as true. And three, it is sincerity and integrity. And four, it is fidelity to an original or a standard. And five, reality, actuality again. Now we remember when Jesus was standing before Pilate, and Pilate said to Jesus in John 18:38, Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? Yes, paraphrasing this, what do you mean by using the term truth? You keep saying you were born to be a king, and that you are to bear witness to the truth. Next, you say that everyone that is in the truth hears your voice. What do you mean by this word truth? Well, you know, some think that Pilate was mocking Jesus by asking what is truth. But we know that Pilate never would have understood that Jesus had been sent into the world to provide a means of escaping the death penalty that had been placed upon mankind. Yes, the fact that he, Jesus, was the ransom for Adam and all in his loins. The truth that because of disobedience, all die. Ezekiel 18, verse 4. Not the lie of Satan that none would die, Genesis 3:4, that man is learning the lesson of sin and its consequences, a lesson that will never need to be relearned. What a wonderful thing that will be. The truth that God is calling those from the earth willing to dedicate their lives in sacrifice as he dedicated his life. Those who will be part of the kingly class, who will help and who will work with our Lord Jesus in the uplifting of mankind from the depths of sin and misery. And how we pray for that kingdom to come every single day. The truth, that great body of spiritual knowledge, knowledge of the ransom, restitution, two salvations, and so forth. Yes, sanctify them through thy truth, because thy word is truth. Separate them from earthly hopes, aims, and ambitions. Do not take them out of the world, but protect them from the evil one. Then let them learn the value of the truth. O Lord, withhold not thy tender mercies from me. O Lord, let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. Psalms 40, verse 11. Psalms 40, verse 11. We read in 2 Timothy 2:15, "Do you," now this is from the NIV, "do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth." So what does the truth, the word, or what does truth do for us, we ask? Does the truth truly separate us? Does the truth make us holy? Are we proving? Are we proving whether the things we read are true and in harmony with God's plan of the ages? We take the scripture in 1 Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5 and 21. "Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good." Now, certainly, all things written are not all good. I hope we understand this. Errors have crept into the scriptures. I remember an old brother in our class, an elder, who gave a discourse one time, and he said, "You know, there are over 40,000 errors in the King James Version of the Bible." Well, I didn't really understand that at the time. I was young in the truth. But I can see that there are a great number of errors that are found there. And it is our responsibility to correct those errors when we find them. 2 Timothy 3:16 reads, "All scripture given by inspiration of God." Not all scripture, but all scripture given by inspiration of God is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. In 2 Peter 1:12 we read, "Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things," or those things, "though ye know them and be established in the present truth." Perhaps we could ask ourselves, are we established in present truth? What is it to be established in the truth? Well, to be established means we have proved it by thorough study, by imbibing its spirit with ours. And then we read in the manna of May 3rd, we have this comment: "We ought to know what we believe and why we believe it, and then should be bold and uncompromising in declaring it. For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle?" That's an important manna text, I think, and one which we can look at and examine and ask ourselves, do we know what we believe, and do we believe it, and then are we bold and uncompromising in declaring the truth? Another thought is found from the text of Scripture in John 8:31-32. John 8:31-32. Oh, by the way, the last Scripture was 1 Corinthians 14:8, if you want to write that down. John 8:31-32. "To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, 'If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" This is John 8, 31 and 32. And you know, the Jews had a lot. They said they believed in Jesus, but a lot of them were not holding to his teachings. They were going back to the old law covenant, and they were going back to what John was had been teaching them. Now, we find another comment from another manna text, which I enjoy. March 20. And this reads, to continue in the doctrine set forth in their inspired writings means to study and to meditate upon them, and then to trust explicitly in them and to faithfully conform our characters to them, is what is implied in continuing in the Word of God. If we thus continue in the Word of the Lord as earnest and sincere disciples, we shall indeed know the truth. Now, he's not just talking to Jews here. He's talking to all of us. We shall be firm in the faith and able to give a reason for the hope that is in us, to earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints, to war a good warfare, to witness a good confession, and firmly to endure as good soldiers of Jesus Christ, even unto the end of our course. Unquote. This is from March 20, Manna. Now, knowing the truth gives those in Christ a firmness for their faith, a faith that will never be shaken by the deceptions of the adversary. Today, the truth is being assailed by a number of teachings that are not scriptural. Number one on the list, right at the present time even, Christ is not present, because the church is not glorified. Brethren, I submit that 1 Peter was correct in saying, in the last days, scoffers would come saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers have fallen asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. 2 Peter 3, 3 and 4. Well, Daniel gives us several details of the time in which we are now living that prove the verity of the second presence of our Lord. A great time of trouble such as never was, people running to and fro, knowledge being increased, and so forth. And then if you went to Matthew 24, you're going to find a great number of other ones as well. And one of the most prominent of Matthew 24 is the return of Israel to their homeland. We'd like to read Luke 12, 37 to 44. Luke 12, 37 to 44. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve and will have them recline at the table and will come and wait on them. And it will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known in what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. And brethren, I hope you understand here that this picture, it is shown to us that the owner of the house is Satan. He is now the prince of this world yet. And therefore, he says, if the thief, as Jesus comes unseen, quietly, now if the owner of this house, Satan, had known in what time he would have come, he would not have let his house be broken into. So verse 40, you must be ready, Because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. And Peter then asked a question, Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? And the Lord answered, who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? Now, this is from NIV, by the way. It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. For I tell you the truth, he'll put him in charge of all of his possessions. Brethren, all thoughtful Bible students realize that at the latter end of the 1800s, Pastor Charles T. Russell was on the scene dispensing meat in due season. And this is one of the truths made plain about the Lord's second presence. And there are other erroneous views besides this one being submitted also. One, the church has no part in sin offering. Also, the church is being developed under the new covenant. Again, brethren, there is scriptural evidence that these views are not correct. Search the scriptures. Search and see wisdom's wondrous harmony. Search the scriptures. Search and see and let their records gladden thee. This is from Hymns of Dawn 296. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians chapter, starting in verse 10, Ephesians 6, verses starting with verse 10 to 17, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God that you may take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplates of righteousness in place, and with your feet fixed with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And in addition to all this, take the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And then take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Again from NIV translation. So, brethren, in summary, in the beautiful prayer of our Lord, he asks his Father to keep those whom the Father had given him by his name. It's the same name that Jesus had, the Hebrew of which is Joshua. God is salvation. Literally, is the Savior. Can you imagine, brethren, having the name of God and Jesus? That you will be saviors? Yes, salvation. It's true, if we are faithful, we too will be like our Lord, will provide salvation for the whole world of mankind. To be sanctified has many meanings, as we have said, such as holy, pure, blameless, and separated. And in our text of John 17:17, we are separated by the knowledge of the truth. Separated from the world in its evil ways. We are made pure. We are cleansed by God's Word. Ephesians 5 and 26. We learn through suffering what true separation means. Hebrews 13 and 12. We are separated by the Holy Spirit unto obedience, which is made possible by the blood of Jesus. 1 Peter 1 2. 1 Peter 1 2. We find that it is the Father who sanctifies us, separates us, so that we might sanctify ourselves, separate ourselves unto purity and obedience. This is done through the Word of Truth, made possible through diligent study and application. We found that through the words of our Lord and the apostles, and finally through that wise and faithful servant, that the truth of God's plans. We have found that not all so-called truth does sanctify. We must prove the Word, correct its errors and then hold fast to that which does sanctify us. That is the truth, the truth, not just verity. That is the message of God's purposes for all mankind. Brethren, we are living now in the end times. We know this. Our Lord is present. He is taking home His bride, John 14:1-3. He is breaking down the systems of sin and error through the Heavenly Father is doing this, we believe, Psalms 110:1, of which the great time of trouble will sweep away, and soon, but not until the bride is complete, will God's kingdom come. Did we understand that? The blood is in escrow. Not until the bride is complete will God's kingdom come. For Satan then will be bound, and the world through the Lord and His anointed bride will bring blessings to all mankind. So, brethren, let the truth sanctify us wholly. Let us prize the truth, defend the truth, hold fast to the sanctifying doctrines that we have found in His Word. Amen.